The 16th parak of Esilas Yesharim, the level that comes after Prishus, the Be'ur Midas HaTahara, clarifying the characteristics of Tahara or purity. HaTahara hi tikun halev v'hamachshavos. Tahara is working on and improving your heart, your thoughts, and it's definitely a very high level. We find that David HaMelech achieved Tahara when he writes in Tehillim, Lev Tahor Barali Elokim, that the Bereshim has created within me a Lev Tahor. It's a very high level to achieve Lev Tahor. Vinyana, what does it mean to have a Lev Tahor? That a person does not allow the Yetzer Hara any space, any intrusion into his activities. Whatever he does is influenced and inspired by Chochma, Yiras Hashem, v'lo al tzad hachet v'tava. There is no motivation coming from sin or desire. This is even in activities that are essentially physical. Because even after a person does conduct himself on the level of Prishus, what is Prishus? He only takes from this world what he needs. He still needs to then move on to purify his mind, his heart. That the little that he does take from this world, it's not done for the purpose of indulging. Rather, his intent is, I'm doing this because of the benefits that I need from it in order to do proper actions to serve Hashem based on Chachma and Avodas Hashem. The Ehu Shlomo describes this. Everything you do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake. So it's not the pshat that you should take your food that you need to eat and then wrap it up in tissues and make sure you don't get any benefit from it when you eat it. That's not what he's saying. What we're saying is that you're not going to indulge, you're not going to look for things that are creature comforts. We learned about Prishus, the idea of we don't need luxuries. But even that which are necessities, when we engage in eating and drinking and other activities that are necessary, you can always give it a spin. I'm doing it because I need to be healthy, so I could daven, so I could learn, so I could take care of my family, so I could do my mitzvahs, as opposed to this tastes good, so let's enjoy it. Again, this is not a requirement, but it's a high madrega. But the point he's making here is this concept of doing what you have to do with tahara. That means your mindset. Your mindset is such, I'm doing it, eventually we'll say it in a minute, it's lishma. I'm doing what I'm doing lishma. I'm doing it for Hashem's sake. I'm doing it that it should help me serve Hashem. And that's b'chol d'orchecha de'ehu. That whatever you do, whether it's going to sleep at night, taking a shower, eating breakfast, all these activities, which we do anyway, all you have to do is think that I need to sleep so I can serve Hashem tomorrow. I need to take a shower so I should be clean. My tzelem elokim should be treated properly. I need to eat breakfast so I can do my avodah today. It's just the mindset. You're doing the same things, but are you introducing into your daily routine the concept that this is because I want to serve Hashem and this is something I need to do in order to properly be an Eved Hashem, as opposed to I'm tired, so sleep now will be very geschmack, and I'm hungry, so let's have a good breakfast. You're doing the exact same things. The question is, how do you spin it? Why am I doing it? What is your motivation? And there will be distinctions, because if your motivation is truly to be rested to serve Hashem, you'll make sure to get enough sleep. And if your motivation is to eat to be healthy to serve Hashem, you'll make sure the food you eat is good for you and not just that which tastes good, but rather that which is beneficial for you, and so on. V'amnam, Ramchal continues, Tzerek Sheteda, you need to know, just like we discussed this concept of your mindset should be pure when you're engaged in physical activities, which inherently are kind of close to the Yetzer Hara because they are physical activities. So you want to make sure it doesn't belong in the domain of the Yetzer Hara, and you should have control over it. But you also need a purity of thought in your good deeds that are not physical, that are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't distant the good deeds from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and hand them over to the Yetzer Hara. For who inyan shelo lishma, this is the concept of shelo lishma that is mentioned often in our Chazal. The idea of doing the mitzvahs with an ulterior motive. So on the one hand, tahara is to do your physical things with a positive spiritual mindset, that this is good for my ruchnius. And you also have to realize that the spiritual things you do should also be done with a spiritual mindset. Because sometimes you could involve very non-spiritual influences and motivations into spiritual activities. And that's the world of Shlo Lishma. V'ulam kavan isparad v'chacham mazal sheyesh minim shoydim Shlo Lishma. Our Chacham have clarified that there are actually several different forms of Shlo Lishma. Harami kulam, the worst of them all, hu shenenu over the shem avodah klal, when he does the mitzvahs without any thought about serving Hashem. Elo l'ramos b'nei ha'odom, his intent is to trick people, to deceive people. U'laviach kavod, a mammon, and he will, in this way, profit with either honor or money. He pretends to be what he isn't for panasa. He pretends to be what he isn't for kavod. That's the worst shelo lishma. V'zeh she'amru bo, on him we say the Yerushalmi noach lo shenepcha shliyasal panav. It would have been better had he died in childbirth. V'alav am hanavi, on him the navi says, when he ketami kulanu, we're all tamei, kubeged idim kol sidkosenu, and all our righteousness are like soiled clothing. That's the worst. The worst is when he has no intent for mitzvah at all. He's doing this purely as a charade, as a scheme to profit. There's another shelo lishma, where he serves with the intent of receiving reward. On that we learn, a person should always engage in Torah and mitzvahs, even if he's not doing lishma. Because ultimately, from the shelo lishma comes the lishma. There's different kinds of shelo lishma. One shelo lishma, we say better he would have died in childbirth. There's another shelo lishma, we say good, keep it up. Keep up the shelo lishma. Just keep on doing it. Eventually you'll get to lishma. So the distinction is, the Ramchal explains, the one who has no intent of ever achieving lishma, that's not even a goal. His goal is to fool people. For him, it's better not to have been born. But the one who's trying, he's trying, but he has other motives. But he's trying. He really wants to one day get there. So, mitosh lo shom bolishma. And this person, what's his ulterior motive? The ulterior motive is amanas kal pras. He wants olam haba. He wants Gan Eden. He wants chai mitzvahs. So that's not the best reason to do mitzvahs. The best reason to do mitzvahs is, I'm not interested in the schar. I'm doing it because Hashem wants me to do it. That's enough reason to do it. It's a very high level. Very few people reach that level. But his shelo lishma, this kind of shelo lishma, we can live with. In fact, we encourage it. We encourage this kind of shelo lishma. La'olam yasek, just keep on doing it. Even shelo lishma, eventually he'll come to lishma. Ach al koponim, but nonetheless, mishlo higiyeh dam yitoh shelo lishma, the one who has not reached the lishma from his lo lishma, hayrocha ku mishlemus, so he is very far from shlemus, from perfection. Om namashat tzarech la'odam yosir inam locha rabba, what a person needs even more investigation and analysis and work. Hutaroivis ha'isr is a combination. There could be a person who does a mitzvah entirely lishma. He's doing the mitzvah for Hashem's sake. I'm doing it not because I expect reward, not because I want to get anything out of it. It's the right thing to do. It's what Hashem wants me to do. So decreed my Father in heaven. Amnam, however, at the same time, it's very hard to keep away some other motive. Either people say, oh, what a tzaddik he is. Or he'll get schar. And sometimes, he doesn't have in mind, he's not consciously thinking about the idea, I'll get praise. But when he hears people say how wonderful he is, he does feel good about it, and he's more careful. We talk about the daughter of Chanina Mitradyan. She walked very elegantly down the street. The non-Jews were on the street watching her. Said, wow, look how beautifully she walks. And she heard that. She became more careful in her steps. So it's also you can't control it. Like you hear the compliment, and then you try harder to deserve the compliment. She tried harder because of the praise. Now again, this is a very small thing, because in the big picture, he's doing lishma. But still, such an action, when you have this combination, is not absolutely pure. Just like on the Mizbeach on earth, we only put flour that has been sifted 13 times. After 13 siftings, you know it's free and pure of any impurities. So too, to go up on the heavenly altar, to be the absolute highest quality of avodah, it has to be totally pure of any possible mixture of shelo lishma. So this is a very exceeding high madrega. The ultimate in lishma, the ultimate avodah, the Rambam writes in the 10th parak of Hilchos Teshuva, is to serve Hashem me'ava. To serve Hashem me'ava, I love Hashem and therefore I'll do it. I don't need anything else. The fact that I can do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all I need to do. And perhaps you could break it down into human relationships. If there's someone that you love, you want to do something for them. You're happy to do for them. You don't need to get paid. You don't need to get something in return. You have a relationship. You love this person. You want to do for them. So I'm happy to do it. I look for opportunities to do for them. And it makes me feel good inside that I can do for them. I don't need anyone to say I'm a great person. I don't need to get any reward for it. Doing it, I want to do it. That's all it is. That's all. That's the absolute highest madrega. And there's a reason why Shir HaShirim is worded in the context of the ahava of a man and a woman. And from there, we extrapolate the ahava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we put it in human terms and then try to project now what will be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when a person has this kind of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't have any other motives. It's a pure avodah. The problem is, it is exceedingly difficult. The Rambam himself writes, Avraham Avinu had reached that madrega. He is called Hashem's Oyev, Avraham Avi. Avraham Avinu served Hashem because of Av Hashem. Very few people reached that madrega. Very few. The Rambam tells us straight out. It's very, very, very high madrega. To be able to serve Hashem exclusively because I love Hashem, and therefore that is all I need to serve Hashem because of that. But it's something we can strive for. It's something we can work on. And if we're not perfect, so we try to make ourselves more perfect. But we have to realize that it's exceedingly difficult. Every now and then, you come across, I don't know if someone writes it about someone else, or someone says it, or I'm doing this lishma. That's one of the most false statements a person can ever make. I'm doing this lishma. What are you doing this lishma? You think you're doing lishma? You really do? There are so many levels of shalom lishma, and again, It could be subconscious. It's a fascinating thing. If you're into sciences, you know that modern science is only aware of subconscious relatively recently. And yet, Ramchal talks about it all the time. The idea of things that motivate you or things that you think about without realizing you think about it. The subconscious. So today, we're familiar with it, but it's relatively a new concept in the world of science. Ramchal talks about it. He says, you think you're doing lishma? Do you realize the shalom lishma is that you're not realizing that that's driving you, that's motivating you? It's very, very hard to really do something lishma. It's very, very unusual, very rare. And people who are familiar with Ramchal and just the concepts take with a grain of salt when everyone says that we're doing this lishma. Right? You have good intentions, but there may be other intentions besides the good intentions. And to be a pure lishma, very exceedingly difficult. It could be yechidim, perhaps, great tzaddikim, but it's very, very difficult to reach such a madrega. But we try. We try to do the best that we can to minimize other motives and to try to focus on doing the right things because it's the right thing and not for any other reason. I often wonder about people engaged in mitzvahs, do they try harder when other people are noticing? The same idea he's discussing with the door of Knevet tried and walking down the street. Is there more of an oomph when you're being watched? Did the daughter of Chanina Mitrajan walk better when she heard the praise about her footsteps consciously? I would assume Chanina Mitrajan's daughter was a very special young lady. Maybe it wasn't even conscious. It was subconscious. She heard the comment and without thinking, she walked nicer. It's hard to say. But the fact is we're humans and we're not perfect and we have to work. We have to work on these things. Ramchal adds a very important addition after saying this yisoid, how in order for something to be tohar lagan, tahar is very hard to regulate. You have to precious, it has to be pure without any impurities. It has to be absolute pure. So he right away points out, the enenu omer, I'm not saying, shemashu zula zed, that if it's less than this madrega, yenidch legamri, it's entirely pushed away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu inu mefakech shechar kol b'riya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hold back reward for any creature. U'mashalam shechar ha'mayis ma'lifim Hashem. Hashem will reward according to what it is. This concept, Hashem is not mefakech shechar kol b'riya, is learned in this week's parsha by the daughters of Lot. That there's still a degree of shechar in their attempt to keep the world populated. The daughters of Lot had good intentions. And they get schar for that too. They get schar for that too. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives schar for any good intention. It won't be the same as schar for perfect intention. But whatever madriga you're at, whatever good intention you have, you'll get schar for that also. It's not rejected outright. It's not that Hashem says, I only accept perfect, if not, goodbye. Ramchal is making a point of saying that's not the case. Amnam. I'm trying to discuss, as Ramchal, the perfect avodah that is fitting for all who truly love Hashem. You can only give it that title if it's absolutely pure. That my only intent, my only motive is for Hashem's sake and not for any other. Now, wherever distance you are from this high level, so the further you are, the bigger the problem is, the more it's lacking. This is what David HaMelech said, who is me in Shemayim, and besides Hashem, I have no interest on earth. Your words are purified, and your servant loves them. Kibbe emes ha'avoida midas srichal yos serufa ha'bi yosem erezom ha'kesef. True avoida has to be purified more than silver and gold. Humashenem al-ter im Hashem amoros tahoros kesef serufa la'alil la'aretz v'zukal k'shivasoyim. That the words of Hashem are absolutely pure. And it gives examples of the silver that's refined 70 times. Umishu Oyer Hashem be'emes, or one who serves Hashem truthfully, she'yistapek b'zeh b'mu'ot, he will not be satisfied with a minimal amount. For Yisrael Tzalkachas kesem u'besigim b'dilim, he won't want to take silver with tin and other impurities. That means avoid mixed in with not good motives. El hazach v'hatarkoi, he'd want a pure product. Then you could say he's doing the mitzvah the way it's supposed to be. Shalav amazal, kala oisa misa kamama ra imavasa besoros ra. Such a person never hears bad tidings. You should do what you do for Hashem's sake. Lishma. These are the select ones who serve Hashem with a total heart. If someone does not cling to Hashem with a true ahava, this purification process becomes a great burden. How can I do it? It's impossible. We are human beings, lude isha, children born of women. We're not malachim. How can we reach this purity? But those who love Hashem and desire His avodah, they're very happy to show their true love and emunah to Hashem, and they'll go through the purification process. Your servant loves. This is really the crucible. This is how you test and know the difference on Madregas of Ovdei Hashem. Kimishio de la Tao Libo Yoser, the one who can purify his heart more, who a miskar of Yoser, he's closer. The Ha'ah of Yoser, Etzel Yisbarach, and more beloved to Hashem. These were the ones in the early days. They overcame and conquered Ha'avos of Amitzag Yankiv, Sha'aroi Mashayatil, Liban Lefanov, were the other shepherds who purified their hearts before Hashem. When you focus your heart only to serve Hashem, Hashem wants your heart. The master is not happy with just the action alone. What's more important is the motive, the heart, the machshava, the lishma, that it should be pure to serve Hashem. The heart is ultimately the king of all the parts of the body. If the heart doesn't bring a person to serve Hashem, what's the avoid of the other limbs? They basically follow the heart like you follow the king. Hashem says, give me your heart. So after a person achieves this madrega of precious and trying to strive to minimize his involvement of Olam Hazeh, to focus on Olam Haba, the next area of focus is the heart and the machshava, the mindset. How does a person think about mitzvahs? What is his motive to do mitzvahs? And it's not an easy avodah. This is something we look up to Avraham Yitzchak Yankov, we look at David HaMelech, and perhaps throughout the generations, there were different people that were at higher levels than others, and in our generation as well. Will we reach that level that they had? Doubtful. That's what the Rambam is saying in Hilchos Teshuvah. It's very rare to reach this level of Avos Hashem like the Avos reached. But within our abilities, we can still try and strive to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's the right thing to do. A lot of times, people are stuck in a moral dilemma. You're in a moral dilemma. What is the right thing to do? Should I do this or that? And you may have good reasons to do either one, but you can't do both. What am I supposed to do? Most of the time, deep down, you know what's the right thing to do. Most of the time, one of them is the right thing to do. It may not be the pleasant thing. It may not be the cheapest thing. It may cost me more, but I know deep down that is the right thing to do. It may be more tircha, maybe more expense, but it's the right thing to do. The one who serves Hashem with taharas halev accepts that he'll do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. even though it may not be that pleasant, even though it may be difficult, even though it may be expensive. It's the right thing to do. So you gotta do what's right. You gotta do the right thing. And again, it's not always clear cut. There's a lot of gray in this world, not black and white. And I can find good arguments for both sides. But deep down, most people are aware of what is really the right thing to do. And sometimes, people have a moral dilemma and they'll ask a shaila. Now, we learned earlier in Mishnas Yesharim that Ramchal says the best people to ask are those who are beyond the challenge, those who are above it. They've gone through it, they know how to get past it, and they're the ones who can guide you because they are beyond this challenge. Or another way of putting it is they're not negei b'davar. It's not something that they have negius one way or the other. They have no inclination motivating them one way versus the other, so they have a more open mind as to what is the better course of action. But I find, and I think I got this from Arbeim, you know, they may not have told it to me straight out, it's very difficult to tell someone, you know, you have these two choices, this is what you should do. When the one you are who's receiving that piece of advice doesn't want to do it. They have reasons why they're hesitating. And again, maybe difficult, maybe expensive, all kinds of reasons why. But it's for sure the right thing. So ideally, what you do is, you don't tell them what to do. Don't tell people what to do. Listen to them. Let's discuss it. And as you talk it through, usually one side comes out that that's the right thing to do. And by the time it's been discussed, very often, the one who's giving Eitzah can say, so what do you think is the right thing? 9 out of 10, they're going to say, the one that they knew a half hour ago. But if they would have told them a half hour ago, this is what you should do. So then, it's a test. It's another test. Because they don't hear it, they don't understand it on a conscious level. But if you let them talk it through, discuss the pros and cons, and flesh it out, most of the time, people realize for themselves what's the right thing. And usually by the time you're done, they'll often say, yeah, I knew that all along, but I just had a time coming to grips with it. So you have to come to grips with it. But the fact is, deep down, most of us know what's right and what's wrong. If someone really is clueless, they're going to need help. I know in another place, Odessa talks about this. It's one of the more difficult, like just this concept I'm describing, the moral dilemma and what's the right thing and what's the right motive, because you can't tell your own motives yourself because you're a gevedaber. So you have the same thing when it comes to hishtadlus and bitachon. You're supposed to trust in Hashem. Very good. So I won't do anything. You can't do that. You got to do hishtadlus. You got to do your half, and then Hashem will do the rest. Okay, how much hishtadlus? So if you do too much hishtadlus, that's not good either. Then you don't have the bitachon. You trust in Hashem. What are you doing all that hishtadlus for? So I won't do hishtadlus. You don't do hishtadlus. You can't be relying on an ace. You can't rely on a miracle. You got to do hishtadlus. So what is the balance? What is the line between bitachon and hishtadlus? Where do you say, ad kan, I've done enough hishtadlus, now I stop. If I do any more, it's a lack of bitachon. If I do any less, I'm relying on a miracle. Where is that line? This is one of the more difficult philosophical issues. I don't know if you ever thought about this or discussed it with your teachers. It's a very difficult thing. How do you know where what's too much? What's not enough? Rav Dessler addresses this question. And if I remember correctly, he basically says, deep down you know. Deep down you know. You just have to come to grips with it. And I find it very difficult to understand. What does it mean, deep down I know? I mean, do I really know? I don't know. That's my problem. I don't know. Should I be doing this? Should I do this? Is it too much hishtadlus? I know hishtadlus. So this concept, deep down you know, is difficult. It's a difficult concept, deep down you know. Maybe if someone has this, people have come to me with this. People have come to me, is this too much hishtadlus, too little hishtadlus? So let's talk about it. Let's discuss it and discuss what's, and I think ultimately there's probably a range. There's probably a range of the normal range. And when you get out of that, that's not normal. No one else is doing that, then that's too much hishtadlus, because that's not normal. But whatever is considered in the normal range, I can't say exactly, but whatever is considered normal, the range, I think is acceptable. Anything less than that, that's probably not enough hishtadlus. So I don't think it's like on a dime up to here and after that. I think there's like a a certain window of acceptable hishtadlus and required hishtadlus, and after that it's too much, and less than that is not enough. But that's the talk to the idea of you know.
I think when it comes to our avodah, we also know. Deep down we do know. But again, not everyone is in touch with themselves. Not everyone understands what motivates them. Not everyone understands what are the different things going on in their lives that drives them to do what they're doing. And okay, that's okay, that's how people are. So then you need to be able to work on this, think about it, introspect, meditate, talk to other people to try to focus on what is my true kavanah. And I'm going to give you one last example that you may have heard me say or you may hear me say in the future. And it was very shocking. It was very shocking, but it drives right to the core of what we're saying here. A number of years ago, Rav Steinman Shlita came to the United States. He came, and part of his visit was an Agudah conference in New York. There was a conference for Balabatim, different fields of business ethics for accountants, for lawyers, for doctors, like the whole conference, a whole day conference going on, different Rabbanim speakers. And Rav Steinman was going to come, and he's going to speak, and he's going to speak through Rabbanim, special session for the Rabbanim afterwards. So I flew into New York for that. I wanted to be there for that session. I flew into New York, and during the day, I sat in this room, sat in that, and did different things, just keep myself busy. And then came to Rabbanim, special Rabbanim session. It's like 50 Rabbanim. And they had questions prepared for Steinman. And here's a question. There's a young lady who is getting older, single. She only wants to marry a Ben Torah, a serious learner, a Ben Torah, and she hasn't found him. And she's getting on in years, and should she just stop looking for a Ben Torah? Should she stop looking for someone learning and just find a nice guy who works and learns, and that's it? And just give up on waiting and waiting and waiting for this high-level learner? That was the Shaila Rav Steinman was asked. Rav Steinman's answer was, now again, Rav Arlieb Steinman is not politically correct. He's honest. He is straight. He lives his life on a level of emes that Americans aren't used to. And he answered as follows. If she's waiting for Ben Torah lishma, then she should keep waiting. But I'm telling you, she's not waiting lishma. And I think the problem in the world today with Shaduchim is that we're not lishma. Everyone is worried, what are they going to say? What are my friends going to say? What are my neighbors going to say? And that's what's driving who they date and who they go out with because of gaiva. Not lishma. And if you get rid of the gaiva, we wouldn't have a shidduch problem. Everyone was shocked at this answer. This is not the answer any of the Rabbanim were expecting. But there is so much MS in what he's saying. The boys who will only date girls from seminary X, Y, or Z. The girls who will only date boys who want the yeshiva X, Y, and Z. And what's wrong with the other yeshiva P and Q? No, if I date that boy, what are my friends going to say? They're going to laugh at me. I can't show myself in public. If they're going to say, where'd your chasen learn? I'm going to say over there. Oh, give up. What's going to happen? So what is that? Lishma. I want a ben Torah. I want a chashev. That's what it is. Or it's embarrassed. I mean, it's a gaiva. What school do the girl go to? What school do the boy go to? What do the parents do for the girl's family? What do the parents do for the boy's family? And whatever goes on and on and on. Whatever particulars that are become unacceptable. What is driving the pursuit of the shidduch? Unfortunately, Rav Steinman feels a lot of gaiva that is limiting shidduch prospects. And if you get rid of the gaiva, then people will be open to date more people than they're dating. I mean, can you imagine telling this woman who's, I don't know how old she was. Oh, let's say she's 25. She is still waiting for this Ben Torah, and Rav Steinman says, you're a Balgaiva, just stayed a nice boy. That would be devastating. Devastating. I don't know if the Rav who presented the Shaila ever went back to her and told her the answer. But this is his Yisoid. If you're truly Lishma, it's okay, you keep waiting, you'll find it. But the problem is we're not Lishma. Who's truly Lishma? Who's really Lishma nowadays? Where we can say in ourselves, I'm really Lishma? How can we say that ourselves, I'm really Lishma? So then how much of our decisions are based on, well, what are my friends going to say? What are the neighbors going to say? How am I going to show up at my vart and then I say, where does he learn? And I'm going to say, well, actually, he's in school and he learns half a day. There could be a wonderful person like that. A tremendous Yerush Shemayim and Oyvan Hashem. And I'm embarrassed to say that. So I'm not going to date him. Or maybe you're talking to Hayim Adrek. I can't say who you are. You have to know for yourself who you are. But Rav Steinman was saying this point, that he feels a lot of the problems with Yeruchim today, I think actually said all the problems are, is Gaiva. It's driven by Gaiva. It's driven by Gaiva. The boy's mother wants only this type of girl for the son. And the girl's only this type of boy. And so on and so forth. Are these the important factors? If this really touches up, is this person a good person? Is this person a Yerush Shemayim? And so on. What is important? So yeah, so we say, no, I'm Lishma, I'm Lishma. Okay, we say ourselves, we tell ourselves we're Lishma. Are we really Lishma? It takes Rav Steinman to tell us straight out, you're not Lishma. I can't imagine, like I said, I can't imagine the Rav who presented that child going back and telling her the answer. He probably just said, Rav Steinman thought about it and said, you know what, maybe you should be open to more Shaduchim. Say it like that. Let's be open now, you know, you're old enough, you waited long enough. Open up to a broader spectrum of boys. Maybe that's what the Rav, that's maybe what I would have said if that was, it wasn't me, but maybe that's how you'd present it. But just tell her, you're a Balgaiva, and that's why you're so old and single. How do you tell it to somebody? I know I once heard it from the boy himself. It was terrible. Rav Chaim Kanievsky's father was known as the Stipler Goyin. The Stipler was an incredible human being, clearly Ruach HaKodesh, scary to go in to see him. I went many times to see him, I was there to see him many times. It was not a casual experience to go into Stipler. Stipler was a very holy man, and you had a pachad to go into Stipler. A fellow told me he went to Stipler for a bracha for shidduch. He felt he was getting older. The Stipler screamed, bracha for shidduch! You met her and said no. I'm not giving you a bracha for shidduch. You went out with her, and you rejected her for no good reason. Can you imagine walking out of the Stipler after hearing that? He comes to me after, all sabrachim. It happens to be many times we do tell older singles, go over the people you've dated in the past and think about maybe one of them you should stop for no good reason. I know a few people who end up marrying that person years later when they talk and realize, no, I don't know why we stopped dating. And they go, they're still single and it actually works out. Sometimes it works out like that. This guy, I don't think he married anyone he dated before. But basically, Stipe was telling the same thing. Like, why do you say no to that young, wonderful young lady? She's a fine girl. It was Gaiva. Like, they can't even say it like that, but that's how I heard it. Like, what's wrong with you? You met her. You don't need a bracha of Shaduchim. Why do you say no to her? That's a scary thing. So I think that's very similar to what Rav Steinman is saying, that we shouldn't be so Gaivadik. Again, is it a conscious Gaiva? Chas v'shal. We won't call it a conscious Gaiva. But when you really think about it, it might be a real Gaiva. It might be really, that's one of the things driving the difficulties in Shaduchim. We have to be a little open-minded and not let these false influences, motivations interfere with our attempts to do the right thing. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's just another example where you see the motive. We think we're motivated by one thing, but really could be another motive going along and we don't realize it. And not everyone is like Rav Steinman to tell you straight out that your motives are off-center. So it's just that's part of this avoid of Tahara, to try to realize what's really important, what's really right, like this we mentioned about the moral dilemma, and do what's right because it's right without allowing ulterior motives to interfere. And it's very hard, I'm not saying it's easy, but that's this avoid of Tahara that Ramchal is talking about.